Good day, ladies and gentlemen. As has been said, I'm Bongani Mayosi. I come from Groetske Hospital in Cape Town. It's really been a pleasure for me to be here. I'm delighted that unlike Cecil John Rhodes, who didn't make the journey from Cape to Cairo, I did. And over the past 3 days, it's really been a pleasure to listen to the work that's going on. It's really exciting in terms of the possibilities for the African continent. I was asked by the organizers to speak on lessons learned on registries that are being done in Africa. I want to tell you that the Pan-African Society of Cardiology has initiated a number of registries on non-ischemic forms of heart disease. There is a registry on rheumatic heart disease, there is a registry on pericardial disease, there is a registry on cardiomyopathies. And these registries are run either by the Pan-African Society of Cardiology or some of them are run by the national societies. I thought, given the short time available to me, that I will just share with you initial results from the work that has been done on ARVC in South Africa and begin to suggest what could be the contributions that we can make to science in these various areas. So, over the next 15 minutes or so, I will just outline what we have learned about ARVC in South Africa. I'll tell you roughly why we did the study. I will show you the clinical presentation of patients with ARVC from South Africa. I will just describe the clinical genetic features that we have observed for plakophilin 2 disease and also highlight some implications of this work for clinical practice and for research. The pathogenesis of ARVC has been outlined by Christina Basso in her very excellent lecture into desmosomal and non-desmosomal diseases. And I will not labor the point on pathogenesis, except to say that we decided in the South African registry to start screening the plakophilin 2 gene because up until recently it was considered to be the most important a desmosomal gene causing ARVC, and we know now that even desmoplakin is emerging as an important contributor. So the reason we've put together this registry is because most of what we know really about ARVC is based on information from European and American populations, and the first report on ARVC that we know of from the continent of Africa was a few cases from Durban that were reported in the South African Medical Journal in the year 2000. And in about 2004, we started a registry in South Africa, and this registry has been initiated by the Cardiac Arrhythmia Society of South Africa, which is a society of all cardiac electrophysiologists working in the country. So they all send their cases with ARVC to this registry. Up until now, we have about 120 probands, but I will just report on information of the first 50 unrelated probands who were analyzed according to the 1994 task force criteria. And what we did in this report, we just compared the clinical characteristics of our cohort, which you see here, compared to the largest cohort from Europe, the 130 from France, as well as a cohort from North America. And generally, the age of onset was the same as in the other parts of the world. And we confirmed that the patients that become manifest with the disease are male patients, which is an interesting issue, of course, for a disease that is considered to be largely autosomally dominant. You'd expect that the males and females will manifest with this. But we know, of course, that sport is an important or physical activity, does bring out the symptoms, and males may well participate more in physical activity than females. Our cases occurred in all the populations of South Africa, although the sample was in fact enriched for South Africans of European descent, and we think this is in fact just reflects access to health care. In South Africa, as you know, because of the legacy of apartheid, people with access to health care are still those people who were advantaged by apartheid previously, so that black people are increasingly also having access, obviously, in the new dispensation, where we noted that palpitations, dizziness, and chest discomfort, in fact, were important in terms of how our patients presented. So patients who presented with chest pain, one should consider the possibility of ARVC. About a quarter of these patients presented with ventricular tachycardia originating from the right side of the heart, although by the end of the follow-up period, and the follow-up period was about, the median follow-up period was 4 years, more than 80% of the patients had, in fact, declared themselves as having ventricular tachycardia. A small proportion of these patients did not have a structural heart abnormality, and a third had a family history of ARVC. When we compared the survival of patients with ARVC to the South African population, it was appearing to be slightly worse. But when you perform a statistical test on whether these two lines, the upper line is the normal population of South Africa, and this one are the patients with ARVC, it turns out that actually there is not a statistically significant difference, which is a bit of a surprise to us. But we have to remember that South Africa is in the throes of the HIV/AIDS epidemic, where the life expectancy at birth, in fact, in South Africa has come down from 70 to about 50 in the past 20 years, mainly due to HIV/AIDS, and we're also seeing the rise in non-communicable diseases. So this is, we're comparing a sick population here with ARVC with another sick population with other diseases. When we examined for predictors of mortality in our cohort, as has been outlined, there is a whole long list of potential predictors of bad outcome in ARVC, including a family history, which we looked at, syncope, the age of onset of symptoms, presence of epsilon waves on the ECG, as well as severity of the abnormality. In our series, there were, in fact, only two characteristics that were independently associated with poor outcome, and they were the history of syncope, as well as the presence of sustained ventricular tachycardia, which is hugely helpful to the practitioners, but also is consistent with some of the data that Dr. Corrado was presenting earlier in the week. And we did not find any difference between those patients with confirmed plakophilin 2 mutations versus those without. Now, one of the findings in our registry was a relatively low uptake of implantable cardioverter defibrillators. And when we compared survival between the French cohort and the South African cohort, the mortality over the 5 years in the South African cohort is given here as 18%. The mean age at death in our cohort was much lower at 37 compared to 54 years elsewhere. And we think that part of the reason for this issue was the relatively low uptake of our ICDs in the ARVC cohort of South Africa. Only 40% of our subjects had ICDs, and in fact none of those with ICDs died, and the deaths came in the group that had that did not have an ICD. And we think that perhaps the underuse of ICDs is part of the reason the mortality was much higher. In this slide, I'm showing you the outcome of the screening for plakophilin 2 mutations. And essentially, we screened 36 probands, and we found 9 individuals carrying a plakophilin 2 mutations. That's 25%. And we found 2 of the mutations had been published previously, 5 were novel mutations. And what was something that we anticipated was that we would find a founder effect, in that one of the mutations was recurrent in at least 4 individuals. And in fact, when we looked at the data, 44% of the individual of the chromosomes that were carrying mutations in our series, in fact, had this same mutation that is recurrent. And we did haplotype analysis, which in these 4 individuals that you can see here, this 5.1, 12.1, 19.2, as well as 38.3, and this yellow haplotype here was the same, suggesting that these four individuals were initially thought to be unrelated, clearly had this haplotype passed down from a founder, and we think that it may be related, in fact, to the advent of settlers, possibly from the Netherlands in South Africa, because all of the individuals who carry this mutation are of white Africana ancestry, probably originating from the Netherlands. Although when we look at the studies that have been done in the Netherlands, this mutation does not appear. Although in the North American series, in fact, this mutation, which is recurrent in South Africa, does appear, although I do not know the haplotype background upon which it has occurred. The other issue that we confirmed in our series was that when you have compound heterozygosity, you have a more severe haplotype. This individual here, marked as 19 point, in this family, in fact, these two individuals presented with very severe ARVC at an early age, there was only one person in this family, in fact, who was not affected with ARVC. So the two parents, as well as the three children, were affected. But two of the children presented with severe early onset ARVC, whereas the other affected individual, as well as the two parents, have a relatively a mild haplotype. For example, the father here, 19.3, who carries the yellow haplotype, which has got a known mutation, he's completely asymptomatic and only has mild right ventricular dysfunction on MRI, as well as an epsilon wave, whereas the mother here, who carries the yellow haplotype, which has got the founder mutation, she's also asymptomatic, but has clearly got a right ventricular aneurysm and an atypical epsilon wave there on the ECG. And then these two children, for example, 19.2, this child was actually diagnosed as Ulz anomaly in the first year of life, and then subsequently required a heart transplant by the age of 10. Her brother became symptomatic at about the age of 10 years, and then by age of 13 also required a heart transplant, also confirming this issue that in ARVC you've got an allele dose effect. So when you've got a double hit, you tend to have a much more severe haplotype. So that these two individuals in the family have got severe, massive RV dilatation, they have epsilon wave, they've got T-wave inversions, and had VT storms, as well as classic histological changes. So what have we learned from our studies in South Africa? What we've learned is that ARVC is clearly a disease of the human population. It occurs everywhere in the world, and the phenotype appears to be the same in all world populations. We found that survival was poor, and probably because of underuse of ICDs. And our finding and a confirmation that syncope and VT is an indicator for death has helped us with healthcare funders to convince them to actually agree to the insertion of ICDs in patients, because this was a problem in South Africa in that we couldn't convince the state, we couldn't convince the private healthcare funders to, in fact, pay for ICDs in our patients. So in terms of our clinical management of patients, this study has helped us, and we have shown that plakophilin 2 mutations are common, accounting for 25% of our patients, and certainly in the white South African group, we have discovered this founder effect, which is present in nearly half of all the patients with PKP2 mutations, which is a very, very important observation. And we estimate that there are at least 200 individuals in the general population who are at risk, and we are now going after them. And as you know, the availability of large numbers of individuals who carry the same mutation are in fact the model that can be used for genotype-phenotype correlations. We hope that perhaps in South Africa, we can make a unique contribution by having these large numbers of patients, not only in PKP2. In fact, it appears that we are finding founder mutations in the other desmosomal gene mutations. So therefore, we can have founder families that can be used by the scientific communities to study issues of genotype-genotype correlation influences, as well as studying issues of genotype, phenotype, and gene-environment correlations. So we believe that this is potentially one of the unique contributions we can make to this field. Thank you.